my story is really the story about a group, not just about me. Some of you probably have a copy of Our Bodies, Ourselves, one of the 9 editions that's out there. And it may be sitting on your shelf somewhere. In fact, the 1970 edition is back there if you want to see the newsprint rumpled up. But you may not know that it was created right here in Boston. In fact, the story of the founding of this organization in this book is really quite satisfying. Go back more than 46 years to Emmanuel College, and don't ask me how a Catholic girls' school allowed a women's liberation conference to be held talking about these topics, but in May of 1969, at this conference, a workshop was held in which several dozen women gathered together in a classroom and began to talk, many of them for the very first time, about some deeply personal health issues, sexuality issues, things that they'd never talked about alone, let alone in a conference setting. The stories erupted. Some women had bad doctor stories to tell. And of course, if you go back to that era, you're going to see a lot of sexism, condescension, paternalism. Many women who asked questions were told, you know, don't worry your pretty little head. And of course, that's not going to give you good medical care if you can't talk about your symptoms, right? But one of the things that also happened is that women began to get angry about the situation that they faced, not just their treatment, but also their own profound ignorance about their bodies. One woman got up and said, you know, I had a baby. I didn't really know what happened. I'm there in the postpartum room thinking about what just happened. And in comes the doctor and he says, I sewed you up nice and tight as a favor for your husband. And she started wondering, what is this about? Of course, it was probably an unnecessary episiotomy to begin with. But the women in this group began to understand that they couldn't put together a good doctor's list, which was the first project that summer. They had to educate themselves. They had to know more about their bodies. And they began with going to Countway Medical Library here at Harvard Medical School, talking to physicians and nurses who were receptive to their questions, and starting to write down what they learned and then got together in small groups to share what they had learned. And then women started adding their stories to the information that had been collected. And this is the way this genre of writing was created, that combined factual information with personal experience, and by making sure that women's voices would be heard. Now, you have to imagine, too, that early on, this was primarily about demystification. We didn't know very much about health and medical care. But as those of us in Our Bodies, Ourselves began to learn more, we understood that we have to go beyond demystification and basic information to understand more about safety and efficacy of the drugs and the devices and the procedures, surgical procedures, that were so often used in women's health care. And it wasn't long before we learned that there wasn't much evidence for a lot of what was done. That's why there were so many unnecessary hysterectomies, unnecessary cesarean sections, overuse of hormones during menopause. We didn't know that then, but as we made common cause with researchers and with those in the public health field, we began to learn a lot more. But it wasn't just about empowering us to make good personal decisions that mattered. Yes, we each wanted to make better decisions. We also wanted to change the circumstances under which we got medical care. We wanted to make sure that we could change the whole pie, not just get a piece of the pie somewhere. And that's when we started to look at the social, political, and economic context in which women's lives were lived. That's when we started to work with women in the prison. For 3 years, another woman in our group and I taught a women's health course at MCI Framingham. One of the striking things I learned there is that a book like Our Bodies, Ourselves could become a literacy tool. Remember Paulo Freire, if you really want to know something, you'll learn how to read. The book in Spanish has been used as a literacy tool as well. We all hunger for this information. And we also have to make sure that we get care with dignity, that it doesn't matter what our race is, what our background is, our age, our degree of disability, our sexual preference, our class background. These were often reasons to be discriminated against. They still are. But as we got together and as we broadened the voices that were included in Our Bodies, Ourselves over the many, many decades, we began to realize that we won't make a better society or a better healthcare system unless we are more inclusive and that everyone's voice is heard. I think this is one of the reasons why 3 years ago the U.S. Library of Congress named Our Bodies, Our Cells as one of 88 books that shaped America. And it's not just because we learned some more. Well, thank you. It's really about the communitarian values that this book embraces, always has embraced. It's about helping one another. It's not about individualistic solutions. Yes, we can eat better if we have money to go and buy organic food, but what we have to do is stop the pollution of the environment. We have to make sure that the food supply is good for everyone, and the air we breathe, the water we drink. You can't always control that. So there are many solutions that are not going to be individual. They're going to be collective, they're going to be communal, they're going to be community, state, national, and international solutions. And what's so exciting for me is that Our Bodies, Our Cells started out to be a U.S. project, but the book has traversed the globe. Women in so many different countries came to us and said, we want to translate that book. We want to translate and adapt it culturally. Now it appears in more than 30 foreign languages and formats, and in the pipeline are a Farsi edition, a Turkish edition, most recently a Vietnamese edition. And these are not just books or now online materials. These are resources that are used by women to advocate for themselves, for their children, for their families, and for their communities. And in some sense, I think Our Bodies, Our Cells was the best embodiment of the women's movement. Remember that Women's Liberation Conference? So many women were discovering then that the personal is political. And the personal still is political, actually, right now, maybe more so than ever. And maybe more so than ever, we need groups like Our Bodies, Our Cells. Just look at what's happening to Planned Parenthood, which needs all our support, I believe, at this moment. Yes. And it's very interesting because when we first got going, and at that conference where women were gathering together, someone had an abortion story, someone had a story about getting contraception. Even married women had trouble getting contraception in this state for a long time. In fact, when I was going to college as an undergraduate in Cambridge, I didn't know that when I went to Harvard Square to Dr. Funkhauser, a wonderful man who gave me my first diaphragm, that what he was doing was not even legal. And it turned out to be a long while before we could get legal contraception for unmarried women. So many stories like this still persist where we need to bring about change. And I think this is one reason why our global initiative is taking new forms all the time, why we're inviting our partners here, why we go there, and why we're trying to make sure that this kind of advocacy, this kind of excitement, is more inclusive rather than less inclusive. More than 300 people worked on the last edition of Our Bodies, Our Cells, some of them physicians, some of them researchers, some of them community workers, but they all are part of a community. It takes a community to do a book like this and to create a movement like this. And we invite all of you to participate. Right now, I'm living with a little trepidation. I stepped down in January as executive director. I'm joining the founders and the board and the staff to make sure that this organization will be sustainable, but all small nonprofits have real challenges, and books like Our Bodies, Our Cells don't sell like they used to. So we have to find new ways of producing income to keep this kind of advocacy going. And believe it or not, I never thought I'd learn how to run a crowdfunding campaign, but I'm doing that with some of my allies. I never thought that I would spend so much time on college campuses, but I know that is where the action is. And I am so inspired by the younger feminists that I meet. And they're not just women, they're men too. And I'm really proud, all the young women and men, and I'm so happy to meet Lori tonight too, which was really a treat for me, that this kind of activity isn't going to stop. When I think about what we put into this movement, this book, and when I think about how close we are as women, the Our Bodies, Our Cells group, we've lost a few of us, but we're still very close, our families are close, we have Jewish holidays together, we celebrate so much together because of our close personal relationships. It's sort of like what Hiawatha was saying, it's so important to connect with everyone around you. One of the things I also understood early on is that we're not accidentally a group of 8 Jewish women, an Armenian woman, that's me, and 3 other women who actually were rebelling in some ways from their roots. It wasn't an accident, because we knew injustice from a young age. I saw it in the town of Watertown, where I grew up, where one of the first black girls to join me in the eighth grade was denied admission into Rainbow Girls. Of course, some of us up and quit at that moment, not even realizing that we had been part of a racist institution. And I think that's part of what we have to make sure we do, that we show one another the truth of our lives, that we don't allow one another to move on with blinders on, so that we can make the kinds of changes that come about only when we link hands together and go forward. Thank you.